Hey, well, thank you, David. Thank you, prayer teams. Always exciting to hear that. Let's turn in our Bibles tonight to Deuteronomy 29. I'm going to just spend our remaining moments with you on one verse. And Deuteronomy 29 talks about renewing God's covenant with Israel. It was not just with Abraham, but all generations to follow. And there call to obey the covenant, cursed if they disobey the covenant, and what God's anger looks like. And it's really worth your reading on all of these chapters. I wish I had time, 100 lifetimes, just to spend time with every verse and every thought that's given. But I'm going to pick one thought tonight, and that's in 29 verse 5. And it's the Lord saying that he has led the nation of Israel. And it reads like this, verse 5. I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxen old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxen old upon thy foot. And we'll just stop right there for the evening. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your kindness. So much to pray about tonight, from things nationally, things in the state, things internationally, with a variety of different medical needs within the congregation, with Israel fighting north, south, east, and west, praying, Lord. Asking now that as you led the nation of Israel, that you would confirm in our minds that you are leading us and that you're with us, as the truth is expressed there in Deuteronomy 29 and verse 5. I thank you for every soul that's here tonight. Care for our souls through this message, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the 40-year wilderness wandering was a journey, and it was a journey packed with miracles. The journey began with the battle between God and the idols of the nation of Egypt. They worshiped the Nile. They considered that the circulation system of the land. And God said, well, if you're going to worship the Nile and consider the Nile a god, I'm going to turn the Nile to blood, and so that everything in the Nile dies. All the frogs come out of the Nile, say, we got to get out of here. And in fact, the frogs not only came out, they invaded the land in massive amounts. They worshiped the frog. They were very intrigued with the frog, starting out in the water, growing a tail, swimming, little tadpole, growing legs, losing the tail, coming out, going on. And that kind of fascinated them, that this creature would go from water to land. They worshiped the frog. He said, well, how's this for worship? You like this god that's in your Cheerios and in your bed sheets and all of that? Is that God? How's that God? Is he working out for you? Okay, they worshiped the weather, the sun. The sun was something raw, the big god. They worshiped the sun. And, of course, he blacked the sun out for a period of 3 days over the nation of Egypt and said, is that raw god? Is he taking good care of you? And he went dark for 3 days over Egypt. And so on. And so every one of those gods, they had, you know, Baal, the god of health, put boils on people. They had the weather, you know, the weather gods, and they sent huge hailstones out of the sky, killing man and beast on the land and crops. And so all of the gods, he did that frontal attack. Well, the journey wasn't over. That was just the beginning of this journey. The beginning of the journey would last for 40 years across the wilderness into the promised land. We're coming to the end of that journey here in this text. Moses is now 120 years old, and he is, this is his swan song. It's his final words of instruction. He wants the children of Israel to go in with their sails full of faith and confidence in the Lord, and God was going to give them the land. But he reminisces in just this one verse that I read to you tonight about him leading them across the wilderness and taking care of their clothing, the shirt on their back, their trousers, their shoes, and him overseeing them. You could literally say, from start to finish, this journey can be summarized in one word: miracles. God did extraordinary miracles through on behalf of the children of Israel, through the land of Egypt, into the wilderness, and it would last not for a day or two, it would last for 40 years. I want you to think about what I'm about to say in these terms. You would explain their journey on earth with this one word: miracle. You being here tonight and in this state and in this part of the state and in this building tonight, and God looking back across the your decades of life on earth. If I were to take the microphone around and we would have a say-so testimony time, everybody in here would say, yes, God did this in my life. Yes, God did that in my life. He saved my life here. He turned a corner here. He spared me there. He saved me in spite of myself. I remember the day when the Lord called me to himself, regenerated my life. It might have been in a revival, might have been in a Bible school, might have been in your home, at your bedside, might have been with your parents. But everybody tonight, if you're a Christian, can say, thank you, Lord, for all the good things that you've done for me. You led the children of Israel. You've also led me. And you did miracles in their life. I can look back and honestly say, you've done a vast number of miracles in my own life. And that there's only one reason that I am what I am. I'm certainly not what I'm going to be. I'm not what I was. But I'm moving in the direction of becoming more and more like Jesus Christ, our Savior. A travel agent wouldn't have taken them through a 40-year journey. It was the Lord who did that. In fact, if a travel agent had led them, he would have led them along the Mediterranean coast. Been about a two-week walk from Egypt into the Promised Land, very short, not that wild of a distance. But there were forts there. There were soldiers there. The people of Israel weren't ready to go to battle. They weren't battle-hardened. They had come out of slavery. They just had their rake and their hoe with them and just traveling along with their donkey. And so he takes them through a 40-year experience, not only because they weren't battle-hardened, but because of their disobedience. And they are going to spend 40 years in the wilderness as they were led by the Lord. And so let's look at verse 5. And I want you to see in this simple verse, in our moments together, a divine captain. It is, the Lord says, I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Divine captain. I want us to see even a divine clothier. You say, the Lord's not interested in weather. The Lord's not interested in my trousers and my shirt. The Lord's not interested in my shoes. You see that God is taking care of even the most rudimentary, basic needs in their life in this verse. So divine captain, divine clothier, and lastly, of course, divine care. Just an overall summary, the care that God has provided them. That we are told in verse 5, the Lord, he says, I led your 40 years in the wilderness. I led you. Seen or unseen, known or unknown, aware or unaware. God was afoot. God was in the midst of this activity, this action, this trek across the wilderness into the promised land. And in so many places in Scripture, we're told exactly this. God leads us. God leads his dear children along. We sing that in time. And he cares for us. And we sing about the care that Jesus has for us. Deuteronomy 8:2 says, way back in Deuteronomy, months and months ago, we read this. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years. And so in chapter 8, he was talking about the guidance of God. Psalm 27:11, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain place. The writer of Psalms talks about God leading him. Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and you know, in all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths. He wants to direct your paths. He wants to lead you beside still waters. He wants to lead you in the plain place. They want him to be reminded of that. You say, boy, I wish God would lead me today. I mean, you talk about God leading. The Old Testament writers gave ample, abundant evidence of God leading them. Man, I wish he would lead me today. He does lead us. The primary source of God directing and guiding our lives is this book. A lot of people say, I want to know God's will. A lot of people say, God seems so far away. A lot of people say this, that, and the other. My first question is, are you spending time in the Word? Because this is the primary source of guidance in our lives. Dennis Carroll asked this whenever he reads, have you read your Bible every day? Why does he ask that? Not just because he wants the Lord to bless your life, he wants the Lord to guide your life. And when you read the Word, whether it's the Lord's Prayer that teaches you to pray, or whether it's the Ten Commandments that guide you how to live, or whether it's the epistles, or whether it's the Gospels, or whether it's the Revelation and what lies ahead of us, God has given us a roadmap, a blueprint, a rule book, a handbook that will teach us about everything, absolutely everything that we need to know from the Lord. The second primary guidance he gives us is, of course, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells our life. We have a great deal of interaction with the Holy Spirit. Before I was converted, the Holy Spirit convicted me of my sin. The Holy Spirit broke me of my sin. The Holy Spirit called me. As the preacher was standing out there giving the outer call, saying, hey, fella, 14-year-old fella, believe. The Holy Spirit was giving me an inward call and saying, yes, I know that people have given you the outward call before. I'm giving you the inward call. I'm saying, go, believe, repent, and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. He has sealed me. He has gifted me, gifted all of us. And he guides us. We've been studying the book of Acts. And what are they doing in the book of Acts? Trying to make a decision. What do we do from here? Jesus is gone. He's entrusted us with the work of the ministry. I can't even choose tonight's restaurant to go to after church. I don't know which direction to go. The Holy Spirit, in the middle of their fasting, in the middle of their praying, said, call unto me Saul and Barnabas for the work of the ministry. They got guidance from the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will tell us, guide our steps. Countless times, daily, I can get quiet, talk to the Lord, and leave that quiet time being guided by the hand of the Lord, saying this, it can be something as mundane as my priority list for the day. Study this, write this, call this, do this, go there. Just to say, do it in this order. I think this is the best management of your time. You need to listen for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Godly counsel. He leadeth me. You know, God wants us to have friends around us, not friends that are going to lead us into a life of drugs or a life of lying or a life of cheating or a life of prostitution or a life of drunkenness. He wants us to have friends around that are just good counselors, good guidance. The Bible has an ample amount to say about surrounding yourselves with godly counselors. And in those counselors, there is much wisdom to be gained. And that is God leading us. I've never presumed to lead this pastor, this church alone as your pastor. But I'm constantly talking, constantly praying, constantly giving advice, constantly getting advice. and guidance from the men and women of the church. And that is a blessed thing. That is a blessed gift. Godly counsel, common sense. One of the things missing in our nation today, why so many millions and millions and millions of unborn children had their lives taken? Because there are so many people that just don't have any common sense, just don't have any fundamental, this is right, this is wrong, go this way, don't go that way, do this, don't do that. And it is guidance from the Lord. And we need to pray for our election that people would come to their senses. People would see right and wrong, and that they would be guided and led by the Lord. And sometimes it's just circumstances. God can use His Word. God uses His Spirit. God uses godly counsel. God uses common sense. Sometimes just circumstances dictate. And I say that if something is dictated by circumstances, when you're walking with the Lord, I think that if it's the guy that's taking too long at the traffic light in front of you, that there is this sense in my heart, I don't understand why this guy is taking too long, but the Lord must not want me to move faster than I'm moving right now, because I'd sure like to be moving faster. But it can be something simple like that, that you have to say, this is God's hand in this, and I trust Him in that moment. We have a divine captain. You say, boy, I led you, he said, for these 40 years. I want you to see, and I don't think I'm adding from Scripture. I don't think I'm taking away from Scripture. God leads His children. And they had a divine captain, a divine chauffeur across the wilderness. I think I can say with all confidence that if we will look to God's leading, He will guide us in our days here on earth. Not only divine a captain, but a divine something simple. A clothier is what he talks about. Your clothes, they're not wearing out on you. Your shoes, somehow, those soles, those heels, the insole, everything is staying in place, even though you have no washing machine, no dryer, no clothesline. You're going across this wilderness in some of the most primitive mode of travel known to mankind. Camels and donkeys and herds, tents, living in a tent for 40 years. Some of us, if we were asked to live in a tent for one night, would say, I'm not going to survive this night. They did it for 40 years. And God took care of them to the most mundane things in the world. The clothes on their back wore with strength and vitality. They didn't enter into the promised land dressed in rags. They were well dressed and well taken care of. You need to see and taste and see that the Lord is good to us, that the Lord watches over us. These are common graces. These are our temporary blessings from the hand of the Lord. And it became patently obvious. You don't wear shoes for 40 years in the desert and end up with a pair of shoes on your feet. You don't wear the same clothes over and over and over and wind up with those clothes looking like they had never been worn at the end of 40 years. That's just not the way it works. But our God is a blessing God. Abraham was told in Genesis 24, this is said of Abraham, the Lord blessed Abraham greatly, Genesis 24, verse 35. He became great by giving him flocks, herds, silver, gold, servants, camels, donkeys. The list goes on and on. How God blessed him not once, not twice, over and over and over again. 2 Samuel 6:11, the ark of the Lord somehow wound up in the home of Obed-Edom, and it stayed there longer than it should have. And you know what happened? We're told in 2 Samuel 6:11, the Lord blessed him and his household because the ark of the covenant was held in possession under his roof. Psalm 65, 9, we're told, God visits the earth and he waters it. Many of you prayed for rain tonight. I could hear those prayers. We're so dry. And out in the Carolinas and in Georgia and in Florida, they got so much rain. We need rain. We're told in Psalm 65, 9, God visits the earth and waters it and enriches it and prepares the soil for the crops. The corn is listed there in Psalm 65. And all crops would fall under the same blessing. Psalm 68, 19, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. How about that for a promise? He doesn't do it just on Sundays. You say, on Sundays, I feel particularly blessed. He blesses us every single day of our life is a blessing from the Lord. We can say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it because it is his day. And I can rise and I can breathe and I can go. Praise the Lord for that. Psalm 68, 19, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. You say, no, change the subject, turn the page, get on, talk about something different tonight. The Lord has not blessed me. Jesus said in Luke 12, 27, consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. God is caring for you, whether you realize it or not. God is caring for the flowers of the field, the birds of the air, things that run, things that jump, things that fly. All of God's creatures are being cared for every day, as are you. And God cared. I can bring it out. God cared for the children of Israel on their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And my takeaway is, if he took care of them for 40 years in the wilderness, he's taking care of you tonight. And we have a divine clothier as they did. Lastly, a divine caregiver. God cared for Israel. Now, that's not saying that over Israel, the sky is always going to be blue, the grass is always going to be green, and it's always going to be peace on earth. Right now, Israel is fighting a war north, south, east, west, on four different fronts. This thing is expanding before our very eyes, and I suspect there will be books written about how Israel is doing exactly what they're doing. It is so remarkable. They formed apparently some kind of a pager business 15 years ago in some other country, and you know, Hezbollah ordered pagers from that company, and it was owned by Israel, and they didn't know it. And they instilled in those pagers little things that when it got a certain temperature or something, it would explode. And they took out like close to 3,000 soldiers without injuring civilians. It was incredible. And then they did it with pagers, and they did it with some radio equipment. And Hezbollah, all of a sudden, the fear of God has been put in them, but as it should be. And it's a remarkable story, to say the least. This promise isn't saying it's always going to be well with you. There are going to be catastrophes. There are going to be tough days. There are going to be cloudy days. Life gets complicated, not only for unbelievers. Life gets very complicated for believers. Complication is no respecter of persons. This text is not saying that everything, the sun is always shining. They are going through 40 years of a desert experience. That tells you the sun is not always, well, it probably was in the desert, but grass is certainly not always green. I'll say that. I can get away with that statement in the desert, can't I? But they had a tough experience crossing this wilderness. It looked like Mars out there for them, but God took care of them every step of the way. This isn't a promise that's saying you're going to win the lottery. This isn't a promise that says you're never going to get ill. I'm no word of faith preacher saying if you're ill tonight, you lack faith. If something is wrong with you, then obviously you're not right with God. That is not what this is. This text is saying, though, God will care for you. In the good days, God will care for you. In the bad days, God will care for you every day. Seen or unseen, bidden or unbidden, sometimes we get this idea, God's eyes are closed. He is totally unaware of what I'm going through. God's ears are plugged. He doesn't hear my prayers. God's mouth, he must have duct tape over his mouth. He's not saying anything. God sees. God hears. God has spoken. And he cares just as he cared for the nation of Israel. So he cares for us. We sing the hymn, He leadeth me. Oh, blessed thought, oh, words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. Now we'll sing that gladly. The concern is, do we really understand how intimately involved God is in our daily life? And I think if you were to say, what brought the pilgrims on the Mayflower across the vast ocean to this promised land of sorts, it was the fact of the providence, the sovereignty, the guidance, the oversight, the blessing of God. And in their first winter, as we approach Thanksgiving, that first year they dug more graves than they built houses. It was pretty tough, pretty dire, and they put the little pieces of corn and on the table in front of them, and everyone went around saying how God had blessed them. I'm not saying this is going to be easy, but they recognized God's guidance. We sing about God's guidance as a church family. We sing about Him leading us, and that phrase, whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. And so tonight it would be my prayer. May we all say amen to the loving care of God. I'm not going to exhaust you with the entire chapter. Wanted to give you one nugget out of it. Read the entire thing, but understand that God, as God blessed them, so he will bless you. For we have, a divine captain, a divine caregiver every step of the way. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you tonight for your kindness in letting us meet together on this wonderful Wednesday evening. Thank you for the word October in our vocabulary. What a wonderful month it is, for sure. Thank you for the word Jesus. If there's someone here tonight that has never trusted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, may even tonight be a night where care of their soul is turned over to our Savior, Jesus Christ. If there's someone tonight who needs prayer, they may say, boy, it seems like his eyes are closed, seems like his ears are plugged, seems like his mouth is taped shut, wired shut. They may need prayer to know that you are leading, guiding, and caring for them. And tonight, Lord, someone may need a church home. I know on Sunday I'm doing a class for prospective members, but tonight, someone may need to come home to Friendly Baptist and say, I need to be a part of this church family. Bless now as we sing our closing hymn. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.